I had enough experience to know that in order to be a good organizer of anything which you expect to succeed, including yourself, you must almost mathematically analyze cold facts. I had, as one asset I knew, an international image. No amount of money could have bought that. I knew that if I said something newsworthy, people would read or hear of it, maybe even around the world, depending on what it was. More immediately in New York City, where I would naturally base any operation, I had a large, direct, personal following of non-Muslims. I knew that the great lack of most of the big-named Negro leaders was their lack of any true rapport with the ghetto Negroes. How could they have rapport when they spent most of their time integrating with white people? I knew that the ghetto people knew that I never left the ghetto in spirit, and I never left it physically any more than I had to. I had a ghetto instinct. For instance, I could feel if tension was beyond normal in a ghetto audience, and I could speak and understand the ghetto's language. There was an example of this that always flew into my mind every time I heard some of the big-name Negro leaders declaring they spoke for the ghetto black people. After a Harlem street rally, one of these downtown leaders and I, the ghetto hustler is forever frustrated, restless, and anxious for some action. To talk over the ABC, CBS, or NBC microphones at Harvard or at Tuskegee, I could talk with the so-called middle-class Negro and with the ghetto blacks, whom all the other leaders just talked about. And because I had been a hustler, I knew better than all whites knew, and better than nearly all the black leaders knew, that actually the most dangerous black man in America was the ghetto hustler. Why do I say this? The hustler out there in the ghetto jungles has less respect for the white power structure than any other Negro in North America. The ghetto hustler is internally restrained by nothing. He has no religion, no concept of morality, no civic responsibility, no fear, nothing. To survive, he is out there constantly preying upon others, probing for any human weaknesses like a ferret. The ghetto hustler is forever frustrated, restless, and anxious for some action. Whatever he undertakes, he commits himself to it fully, absolutely. What makes the ghetto hustler yet more dangerous is his glamour image to the school dropout youth in the ghetto. These ghetto teenagers see the hell caught by their parents struggling to get somewhere, or see that they have given up struggling in the prejudiced, intolerant white man's world. The ghetto teenagers make up their own minds that they would rather be like the hustler, who they see dressed sharp and flashing money and displaying no respect for anybody or anything. So the ghetto youth become attracted to the hustler worlds of dope, thievery, prostitution, and general crime and immorality.